T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us right now, Brian Getzeiler of HoopsCritic.com, of course, the host on SiriusXM NBA Radio as well. Brian, Joe, and Kim, how are you?
Good, Joe. Good, Kim. How are we doing today? Good.
How are you, Brian?
Good.
Very good, thank you. Pleasure to be with you guys.
Pleasure's all mine. All right, let's start with the draft. Anything in the draft? Look, we knew Fultz was going to go number one to Philly. We pretty much knew Ball was going to the Lakers at number two. Anything surprise you after that? Anything besides maybe the Jimmy Butler trade? What really surprised you after the first two picks?
Malik Monk falling. I had heard that he might, but you guys know what happens the week before the draft. Is there so much information flying around that's misinformation, that's just not true. And I had heard that a lot of teams were souring on Malik Monk because of his lack of size, and they figured he was a pure wing player, that he wasn't really a lead guard candidate. I feel like with a little bit of development, his handle certainly is good enough. Maybe he needs to change his mentality from that scoring mentality a little bit to a little bit more of a distributor. But these are the kinds of lead guards we have in the NBA today, guys, ones that are scoring primarily. You know, the Lonzo Balls are kind of few and far between. It's these lead guards that score a lot. So I thought Monk had a future doing that. And I feel like him falling, you know, past 10 there to 11, I felt like he's a guy that was really a top six, top seven talent. So otherwise, it was pretty chalky and went kind of according to plan. I did not mind. I was a little surprised Portland traded up for Zach Collins. It's a player that they feel like fits. I think it's a guy that can be a very good player. And actually, for a young guy pretty early on in the league, I think he could be a very good player and help them a lot. I didn't mind that terribly. But Monk falling to me was definitely early in the draft my biggest surprise.
Let me go back to that then, Brian, because you know I'm a big Knicks fan. Yep. And I'm sitting there at 8, okay, and Monk is still there. And look, who knows about these guys, especially with the, you know, one and done, or the guys from, you know, overseas or whatever, Frank and then Alinka, however you say his name. But I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, Monk is sitting there at 8. I know the pedigree from Kentucky. I mean, most of these guys, whether it's Wall, whether it's Cousins, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's Karl Anthony Towns, these Kentucky guys, one and done, have been pretty good in the NBA. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, take Monk. And they didn't. And I was not happy about it. Now we'll see how it plays out. But what's your thoughts on Monk as opposed to, you know, the kid from France that the Knicks took?
Well, Joe, before I even give you the answer, just make sure, Kim, make sure the windows are locked in that studio that you're in.
Everything's locked down, I promise.
I'm going to tell you something. I feel here's the Knicks' big mistake with taking Ntilikina. And not that Ntilikina, you know, he's a young guy. He's 18
right,
years old.
Right.
But when you talk to scouts about him, no one's saying, hey, this guy's going to be great. He could be pretty good, and he's got some tools.
Right,
they feel like
right.
He can shoot it a little bit. At 6'5", he's got some length and can be a good defensive player. And he's the kind of size guard that Phil Jackson looks for in the triangle. But here's the larger issue with this. Phil Jackson's got 2 years left with this team. He's not going to be, and I doubt he's going to want to stay after that, and I more
Please
than that
leave.
Doubt that Jim Dolan's going to let him stay.
Please leave.
After that. Okay, but here's the thing. Now you went in a situation in this draft where you had two guys with the potential to be dynamic guards in the NBA, and Malik Monk and Dennis Smith on the board, and you went ahead and took an 18-year-old
yeah.
player to fit a system
oh, God.
That won't be there anymore in 2 years.
You better bar the
one
windows.
Thing, I don't know who's.
Did we lose him? We lose Brian? What happened? I said we better bar the windows, and he was gone. I guess we lost him. We'll have to get him back. Brian gets Lila. Go ahead.
You know, Brian brings up a good point, Joe. And the Monk thing confounded me a little bit, even though I admit I don't look at these guys
right.
and think about
right.
them and scout
right.
them and everything else. But Monk helps the Knicks almost immediately.
Right.
Would you agree?
No, no
and
question.
And it's hard to ask this kid at 18 to do that.
Well, here's the problem is, and this is what makes, and I know most Knicks fans, I'm sure, feel the way I do. I am sick and tired about hearing, well, he fits the triangle. It's absurd. That his triangle is nonsense. The triangle's about two guys, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. And that's why the triangle worked, because Phil Jackson, you know, had Michael Jordan and those guys he had in Chicago, and he had Kobe Bryant and Shaq in L.A. And that's why the triangle worked. But, I mean, they don't have the – it's all about the players. It's a joke. And when I hear the triangle, he fits the triangle, and I think we got Brian back. We got him back? We do.
Yeah, I'm back.
Brian,
I'm back.
When I hear he fits the triangle, I want to vomit. I am sick of hearing that as a Knicks fan.
So the system's not going to be here in 2 years. I'm not sure where I got cut off from you guys. The system is not going. Phil Jackson is not. His lasting legacy with the Knicks is not going to be the triangle offense that
not.
The next person's going to come in and take over. You drafted an 18-year-old kid who to fit a system that won't be here anymore in 2 years.
Yep.
It speaks to the overall dysfunction of the organization, and it speaks to Phil Jackson's naivety of exactly who he is and the his lack of awareness to how much he thinks he's respected. Somehow, some way, he thinks the triangle is going to be there in New York after he's not there anymore. No one's doing it anymore. And really, it's a shame because, and listen, Neal Akina, again, could be fine, but you look at a guy like Monk, you look at a guy like Smith, these are dynamic guards that athletically are going to be difficult to match up with, and this is my biggest problem. Because of the triangle offense, you passed on better athletes for a lesser athlete. That is a major, major issue with what's going on from the top down for the Knicks.
But yeah. Brian and Joe, aren't we to the point where I'm not so sure I would agree that Phil Jackson's naive? I think he's stubborn.
Tim, it's kind of a distinction without a difference, though, right? I mean, he is stubborn, but he's stubborn in believing that somehow this system can work. And I don't care who you are in the NBA. If you don't have player buy-in on a system, the system's not working. The players have to buy in. And listen, I've never been a proponent of this is how I play, and we're just going to find guys to fit how I play. I've always been a proponent. Mm-hmm. Get the best talent you can, and then craft a system around that talent.
No
and
question.
We're seeing, by the way, less of that in today's NBA. Everybody wants to play fast, run, and we're going to find a way to run no matter what. I don't love that. I feel like you have to take the best talent you can get. And for the Knicks here, let's be honest, beggars can't be choosers. I mean, the reality is, even with the cap space that they have, no one, they're going to have to overpay anybody to come as a free agent.
Of course.
And that may actually be a blessing in the end, because they're not going to be able to sign bad contracts like the Noah contract. But I do think for Phil here, the stubbornness and the naivety, it's kind of one and the same. It's him not realizing, you know what, your best way to leave the Knicks in terms of a legacy is much better than you found them in terms of talent. Your system is not going to last past your exit, and that to me is the bigger issue with Phil Jackson.
Well, look, to me, you're being kind saying naivete and stubbornness. It's about his ego. It's out of control, and he doesn't win 11 championships, and he doesn't have a stupid triangle offense without Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Scottie Pippen. It's all about that. It's nonsense. Phil's an egomaniac. Let's be honest. Everybody gets delirious about Phil. He was a bench player on the Knicks championship teams. He didn't even play on the team in 1970 in the playoffs because he was hurt. He was the third guy off the bench in 1973. He's not Clyde. He's not Willis. He's not Dave DeBuscher. He's not Earl Monroe. Let's cut the nonsense. He's an egomaniacal guy who is way over his head as the president of the team and should be coaching the team, but will never coach the team because his glossy record will be destroyed because he knows he can't get even near the playoffs with the garbage he has on that team. So
yeah,
there you
Joe, go. It's a great point, Joe, and I'll take it a step further.
Go ahead.
You know, on my NBA radio show yesterday morning, we had Jeff Van Gundy on as a guest, and I asked Jeff about this situation with Phil and this whole strange week of, you know, the shopping of Porzingis and talking to people about trading. And Jeff had a very interesting point. He feels as though the biggest waste of time are these exit meetings. All you do in these exit meetings is sit down and summarize with guys everything you've been talking to them about for the last 250 days that you've had them with you. That's all you're doing. So it's not Porzingis is not the first guy to blow off an exit meeting. And much to Phil Jackson's chagrin, it's not the first guy to blow off a Phil Jackson exit meeting.
Right, right.
But this became all about Phil, and you heard Phil on with Al Troutwick. No one has ever done this to me. Well, that's great that you feel you're personally offended in all this. The reality is you have a job that's bigger than you being offended or your ego. It's to build the New York Knicks. And this kid's 21 years old. He's one of the more unique players in the league. And listen, I don't have an issue with him discussing him in trades.
Sure.
I really don't.
No. Sure, you fly it out there.
Wins, 32 wins,
sure.
31 wins. Everything's on the table.
Yep.
And as Jeff Van Gundy very eloquently pointed out to us yesterday, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was traded.
Yep.
Anybody can get traded.
Will Chamberlain
was traded. It's the way the league has always worked. Discussing him is not an issue. Going on MSG Network, and declaring why you're you're discussing him, that you are discussing him, and that you're pretty much open for business for this player, is trying to send the player this kind of muscle flexing message that is really needless. Because if Phil Jackson, listen, you want to talk about him as quietly as you can. And the reality is, if Phil wanted to make this right, he should have humbled himself and gone to Latvia and met with him face to face and let him know this right. is a measure of respect, and I expect that same measure of respect back. Make the gesture and show the kid that he's valued, and that at least whatever input he has, float him the illusion that you care about his input, even if you don't. And Phil will never humble himself to do that. My point being, Joe, your point about ego and that Phil's ego is in the way here is a very, very good one.
Well, but Phil loves the muscle flexing stuff with players, and Carmelo Anthony was the example before KP is now the example. What do you think happens with Carmelo and either the buyout? Is he a Nick this season? What happens, Brian?
Well, Phil made it pretty clear, Kim, that you know when Al Chalwick asked him about that, that Carmelo has made it clear he would like to stay with the Knicks. Phil also made it clear he doesn't really want him with the Knicks. And there's only one ending here. First of all, no one is trading for Anthony. Forget
right.
about it. Okay? Because if he doesn't get traded between now and Saturday, his $29 million with that 15% trade kicker, it all gets accelerated into the first year. That's $34 million for next year. Find me somebody that's putting out salary on their books.
Yeah.
No one. Okay? Here's the other thing. He wants to be in New York. What incentive does he have to accept a dime less than what they owe him? He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't. So what's going to happen here? You know what? What's going to happen here is they're essentially going to say, here is all of your money. Go home.
Mm.
That, to me, that's the – because he's not going to turn around and say, hey, I'll take a discount and go play for a contender. He doesn't have to. So to me, either Carmelo Anthony is going to be playing for the Knicks this year, and Phil Jackson's made it very clear that he doesn't want that, or they're going to pay him to go home. And if they pay him to go home, he's got plenty of choices of places he can go to sign for league minimum while the Knicks are paying him huge money and go help somebody compete for a title. I mean, to me, that's the only – besides Anthony coming back for this year, and I just don't know that Phil Jackson wants that, the only ending is to write him a check to go away.
Unbelievable. And eventually, let's not forget, too, Brian, that who's the guy that gave Anthony the contract? That was Phil.
That was absolutely Phil. But you know what, Joe, in all fairness, I'm not sure Phil wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I think Phil tried to publicly shame him into taking less money. In the end, the less than the max that he took was a very small token, and Melo was able to negotiate a no trade right around him. And as much as Jim Dolan has stayed uninvolved, and for the most part he has, there's a couple little things like the hiring of the first coach, like this Anthony contract, that have his fingerprints all over them. So because believe me, with the way Phil has trashed Anthony from the jump here in terms of how he played, He and the way he talked about him before
right,
he even signed
right.
into that deal, Phil's easy to telegraph. There's no way he wanted Anthony on this team. And ownership's kind of got him stuck with that. But hey, listen, Jim Dolan is paying $12 million a year, and I've used this analogy before, to kind of have Phil Jackson be to him what Uncle Junior was to Tony Soprano in the first season of Sopranos, the lightning rod for all the negative.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, you hit that right on the head, Brian.
Brian, real quick on the Anthony contract and NBA contract, is there offset language like you just said? Is he getting the sum of money that he's getting, and the team he would go to could pay him very close to a minimum because the money is going to be the same no matter what?
Great question, Kim. To my knowledge, there is not offset language. So that if he did go sign another deal with another team, it's in addition
It's in addition to?
Yes. So it's not going to – him going and signing a deal with somebody else is not going to help the Knicks.
Mm. Brian, it's always a pleasure, my man.
Always my pleasure.
Thank
Both
you,
of you will do it against
Thanks very
we'll
much. Talk.
Brian Getzlaler of Getzlaler. Of HoopsCritic.com.
How about that contract?
Host on SiriusXM NBA Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.